Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of Psalms 100, and then you'll also want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3. Psalm 100 is known as a psalm of praise. And when we come to church, it's to honor and praise our Heavenly Father. And we are to do it for His honor and for His glory. Would you please stand with me as we read the five verses of Psalm 100. And it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the opportunity to be here. We thank You for the songs that we could sing. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to give back as You have given to us. Lord, we thank You for the special that we heard. And now as we read Your word, Lord, bless it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Psalm 100 puts an emphasis on the Lord's sovereign rule. You know, as men and women, we like to be in charge, but we need to remember that the Lord is in control. His goodness is to all people. The responsibility of all nations is to acknowledge Him. Can I say this? It doesn't surprise me that our society in America today is struggling with who really is in control. When you have raised 2 and 3 generations of people cramming down their throats that we are here simply by chance, that we evolve through the years, the millions of years. I read this the other day. Can I share something with you? If you're an evolutionist, you have to believe that we came from something. How about hummingbirds? How about hummingbirds? Aren't they amazing? Do you have a hummingbird around your house? They are so cool. Well, evolutionists believe that hummingbirds came from alligators and crocodiles. See, they believe that the birds came from dinosaurs. See, we have to somehow get here. And yet people struggle so hard to say there is no God. Well, if there is no God, how did we get here? Well, we're here by chance, right? But it is the responsibility of society to acknowledge Him and the importance of God's people exalting and worshiping Him. The importance of the worshiping Him. Ephesians chapter 5, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, if you would, please. And here in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, we are admonished to be thankful to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." How important it is that we remember God. Colossians chapter 3, if you would, please. And in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 25, we are instructed to be filled with the Word of God. And when we are, we will be joyful, thankful, and submissive. Beginning at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Back again to Psalm 100. The three characteristics of the believer that is controlled by God's Spirit and God's Word, and they do go together, are presented in this wonderful psalm of thanksgiving. We are to be joyful, according to verses 1 and 2. We are to be submissive, as it says in verse 3, and we're to be thankful in verses 4 and 5. Would you say you're blessed? Are you blessed? Of course you are. How many of you were glad this morning you had hot water at your house? Isn't that a blessing? I mean, don't we live better than King George V? Yeah, I mean, hot water. Aren't you glad you have a refrigerator? Yes, sure. You know, electricity is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I'm amazed. Aren't we blessed? I've been in homes in Honduras that didn't have electricity. I was in a home that didn't have anything but a dirt floor. There was no front door. It was a curtain. Yeah, we're blessed. You go to the grocery store, and other than the toilet paper aisle, I don't understand, but other than that row where now if it's there, you can only buy one at $27. No. But then there's food aplenty. We are so blessed. And we're going to be talking about things of which we are blessed and we're going to see in this 100th Psalm. The word blessed means joyful, ecstatic, delightful, happy, radiant, blissful. Can I brag on my wife for a moment? I am so blessed to have my wife. I mean, go ahead, say amen. I mean, I am so blessed. 47 years she has been my wife. One of the things I love about her is her smile. She's happy. She puts up with me. Praise God. I am blessed to have her. If we could just do something about Casey, we'll move along, okay? Yeah, I'm here. He built up points and I just lost them all. But are you blessed to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? There's no greater blessing than that. We're told it's an unspeakable gift to have Jesus Christ. Point number one, a blessed knowledge. A blessed knowledge. Notice there in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. Know it. Know it. I feel so sorry for people today that have nothing to, or no one to be thankful for. I mean, you say, oh, I'm thankful that my family does this or that, but why do we do this or that? It's because we have been taught to do good. And God tells us to be good. But we are to know who the Lord is. We are without excuse, the book of Romans tells us. The book of Psalms tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. Dr. James Smith writes that it is a great thing to know assuredly that the Jehovah of the Bible, in whom we trust, is the God of the whole universe. And we are not here by chance. We were created for a purpose. Number two, a blessed relationship. Verse 3b, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Can I say something? I'm glad that I live in Michigan. I'm glad I can point to my hand and tell people where I live. Isn't that great? I'm glad for the Great Lakes. I think it's marvelous. Now someone says, would you like to live somewhere else? Tennessee. Yeah, I like that. You know why I can't live in Tennessee? There's two reasons I can't live in Tennessee. Grandkids. They're here. And number two, my wife won't live in Tennessee. And number three, you guys are here. Because would you all move to Tennessee with me? There we go. We got some. Okay, Donna. We're moving. Yeah, we're all going together. But I'm glad that I live in Michigan. I'm really proud to be an American. With whatever problems we have, I'm glad I live in the United States of America. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm glad that Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. Because there came a day and time when I knew I needed to get saved. And the church was meeting at that time out at Wiley Elementary. And it was there that I went forward on a Sunday night and asked the Lord to accept me. I had really done it that afternoon with my mother and dad at 5085 Auburn Road, where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then that night, I went forward. But I am so glad that I can say I'm a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. Now, the Christian part sometimes is pretty hard. Just because someone calls you a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian? If you're Christ-like. See, you can be born again without being a Christian. Okay? Just wearing a cross on a necklace doesn't make you a Christian. Not putting a tattoo on your arm, that doesn't make you a Christian. It's being Christ-like. And I am so blessed to have grown up in a home where I was taken to church, where I was taught the Word of God, and I am blessed to know that we are not here by chance, but that there is a Creator God. According to Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, as Pastor Stephen said this morning, unto good works. And with regard to our spiritual safety and provision, we are the sheep of his pasture. According to John 10, 27 and 28, it says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Number three, it's a blessed service. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Please note this thought. Serve the Lord with what? Gladness. It should be our desire to serve the Lord. It should be our desire to come and worship. It should be our desire. We should do it gladly and with joy in our heart. Now, can I be totally honest with you? I'm going to move away from the pulpit. I don't want to be struck by lightning. There are times in my flesh that I don't want to come to church. Can I be honest with you? There are times I wake up in the morning and I just feel like, do I really? Then I remember, oh, I'm the pastor. I have to go. Yes. I mean, let's be honest about it. When we're in the flesh, sometimes we become grouchy. Any of you grouchy people? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Some of you aren't. You know, one of my problems with living with my wife for 47 years, her dad was so laid back that he just was easygoing, wasn't he? So when she married someone, she didn't marry someone like her dad. But you did it anyways. Even though people said, what in the world are you doing? But the fact is, we should be glad to come. And after we sing a song or two, I am so glad, Cheryl, I came. After I sing a song or two, I'm just glad that we could be together. Singing makes me happy. It may not make you happy hearing me, but the Bible says make a joyful what? Noise. Yes. Some are better singers than others. Well, when I get to heaven, I'll have a perfect voice. Number four, a blessed fellowship. Verse 4a, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Should we just have thanksgiving once a year? Or should we be thankful all year long? All year. Now, I'm glad we set a day aside for it. And I'm going to have Polish food. Some. Stuffed cabbage. Yeah. And what's the other thing? Pierogies? Pierogies? Yeah. Doesn't that sound good? Uh-huh. And I bought a small fresh turkey because they want stuffing too. And so we're going to have a bunch of things. But, you know, I'm glad we can do that. But we should be thankful because our Lord has sent his son to die for us and that we can have salvation. Come, because within his gates and courts, we come to a place of personal communion with our Lord. And he tells us where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he'll be. In Matthew 11, 28, we find these words of our Lord and Savior, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Folks, there is no rest outside of the Lord. People are constantly looking for peace, even saying peace, peace, where there is no peace. The true peace only comes to know them that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hebrews 4:16 encourages us to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a blessed fellowship to be with the Lord. Number five, a blessed object. Find it in verse 4b, be thankful unto him and bless his name. His name is wonderful. How many have died with Jesus on their lips? Thousands have been martyred for the faith, singing his praises. It got to the point as they were being burned at the stake and they were singing and preaching that they would cover their mouths so they couldn't do it. But they would die praising the name of Jesus Christ. You talk about love. That's love. His name is a strong tower. It's a name that can be trusted. But the name Christian carries with it a grave responsibility. As I've already mentioned, it means Christ-like. Yes, there was a time in which the United States of America was a Christian nation. You say, is it today? What would you say, it's a Christian nation today? We have drifted so far from where our founding fathers were. Do you know why we're having problems with our government today? It's because we don't have people in government that understand the Bible. They don't understand the Word of God. They don't understand going to church for a lifetime. We have men and women in places of power that have been taught evolution, that were here by chance. That's why we're struggling today. It's because we don't have people in places of importance that know Christ as their Savior. And can I say this? We even have people that are pastors who believe in evolution. We have pastors today that are pro-homosexual marriages. And so we have drifted from what the Word of God has to say. And unfortunately, too many have smeared the Christian name by their actions and attitudes that are totally ungodly. Number 6, a blessed testimony. We find it in verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The Lord is good, for he is love incarnate. He is love. He is charity. His mercy is everlasting, and it means his mercy lasts and is not fickle or uncertain. His truth endureth to all generations. His truth stands unchanged and unchangeable. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, I will worship and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God puts more emphasis on his truth, his word, than his name. And his name is wonderful, but his truth is even greater. One of the problems we have in our society today is there's a lack of truth. Someone has said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. We're seeing cheating right now in our society. There are those who are scammers. My dad, a while back, when he was still at home, he got a phone call, and it was from supposedly a police department in Ohio. And they said, we have one of your grandchildren, and you need to send money. And so my dad, for whatever reason, immediately thought it was my son Brian that was in jail in Ohio. Now, I don't know why he thought it was Brian. In fact, I asked him, I said, why do you think it's Brian? He goes, well, I don't know. That's the first one that came to mind. And I said, you didn't send any money. He goes, no, I called you just to make sure. But what were they looking for? Money. He was over at the grocery store, and this woman came up beside him and said, hey, do you remember me? And he goes, no. She goes, I remember you. And she wanted money. Why are people like that? Scammers. This time of year, people are scamming. They want your money. Isn't that sad? And they prey on older people. We were at the Lee's house there in Texas, and they still have a landline. I don't know how many of you have landlines still. And they had answering machine, and he played back a message, and they said, you have to give X number of dollars because the police are coming after you. No truth. But there is truth in the Word of God. This is truth. And our enemy continually tries to say, can you trust God? Did he really say that? What he told Adam and Eve, he's still telling people today, you can't trust God. He's trying to keep things from you. Number 7, and what makes a perfect sermon? 7 points. What point am I on? 7. Are we almost done? Number 7, a blessed sound. Starting up in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many people come to church griping and complaining? Do I got to do that again? Man, they're going to sing those old songs. They expect me to give an offering, and then that guy's going to get up there and bore me to death for 30 minutes. No, we're to come with the desire to hear the word of God. A joyful sound. I love this verse found in Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Do you know the joyful sound? Do you know that Jesus saves? Do you know Christ is your personal Savior? We are not to be the silent majority. We are to be a force for good and righteousness. We are to be a force for the cause of Christ. Make a joyful sound. Shall we stand together? 384 is our song of invitation. Lord, I'm coming home. How easy it is to drift and forget. May I say this? I hope that today you understand the need to stay close to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to talk, to look into your word. We thank you for the thoughts from Ephesians and Colossians, and especially from Psalm 100. Help us to be glad and joyful. And Lord, may we do this for your honor and glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.